What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Stories with Infian Major. And today's a special episode because it's for a school project, and I have my friend Holden with me because it's for a school project. So, basically, wait, say hi, Holden. Hello. Say hi.
Hello.
Okay, so this is my end of the year innovation and tech project, end of the year major grade. And for the assignment, you have to think of four moments where you've let your light shine. And that's the school theme for the year. The school theme is letting your light shine. So think of four moments you've let your light shine, and then pick a digital medium like podcast, videos, like anything online to express those moments in. And I chose podcast. Okay, so this is my friend Holden.
Hello.
And yeah, hi Holden. Hi. And from pre-K to sixth grade, we went to the same school together. And it was kind of in categories, right? Pre-K, kindergarten, lower elementary, upper elementary. And then upper elementary was in a whole separate building. It was fourth through sixth grade. That was upper elementary. We had all new teachers and stuff like that, new building. And every year, we would be given a math book. Like during math class, it was 45 minutes long. We'd work on a math book. So if you're in fourth grade, you'd go to math class, and like pretty much the entire time, you'd just work on that math book.
Yeah, that's about
Okay.
right.
So both of us were pretty good at math at that point. So we were working on our math books, and we were ahead of everybody else by like, by a lot, kind of a lot. We were ahead of everybody else. And by maybe three fourths of the way through school year, maybe like halfway through the school year, we had done enough pages. There was about 160 pages in the book, and by halfway through, we had done about 100 page. Halfway through the school year, we'd done about 100 pages. And then our math teacher pulled us aside, and she was all like, "Hey, you guys should make it your goal to finish the math book by the end of the year because it's doable. You guys are like on track to do that." You have anything to say about that?
So then she pulled us aside and she was like, yeah, I kind of vividly remember this. She pulled us aside and she was like, okay, guys, you guys are kind of ahead and I can see that y'all are pretty advanced when it comes to fourth grade math. So if y'all want to, you can kind of make it a competition to see who could finish the math book first. And we took that very seriously and it evolved into a pretty competitive race.
I don't remember if it was she pulled us aside individually or together or what she said or where we were. So this is a good idea why you should have a guest on your podcast.
So in fourth grade, I won the first one. I finished the math book.
Okay, I think you should just quit yapping for a second. So about a month before the school year ended, we're in the same class. We're both in the same math class because our school is pretty small. So I remember Holden finished the math book. And we're both on the last page, and I was pretty sad. He finished it like 10 minutes before me, I remember. And then I'm pretty sure it was the same day, the very same day, our math teacher brought us to the principal's office, and it's for. And then they gave us like M&Ms and stuff. They showed us our secret stash of M&Ms, and it wasn't like normal M&Ms, like those big M&Ms with peanut butter in them.
Yeah,
I don't know.
keep in mind we're in fourth grade, we had no freedom and no privileges. So being able to leave school and go to a different part of the school just to get M&Ms was a huge privilege.
Yeah, we had to walk across the street to get our M&Ms, the principal's office in fourth grade.
Was pretty crazy. Next year,
Okay,
oh, and
okay.
also, and also, we so we had about a month left, and once you finish the math book, they just immediately get you on to the next year's math book.
Yeah, so the thing is, after we finished the fourth grade math book, there was still like a month left in the school year, and what were we supposed to do after we finished the math book? Well, I mean, it's a pretty simple solution, really. They just moved us to the fifth grade math book. So we got through like 20 pages or so of the fifth grade math book before the fourth grade year finally ended.
Yeah. So, and I remember you had kind of pulled ahead near the end. Like you were probably 2 pages ahead of me in the fifth grade math book at the end of fourth grade. So, I remember this way too vividly. This is unhealthy. But so anyways, yeah, we finished school and we have already started the fifth grade math book in fourth grade. So we come back next year in fifth grade and the race starts again. We immediately start grinding in the fifth grade math book. And it's kind of like that math book is like perfectly long enough to where we actually really have to try to finish. So we would always finish right before the school year ended and then would just get a head start on the math book ahead of our grade.
Yeah,
So
but since I'm like really smart, I finished. Since I'm like better and really cool. I finished the fifth grade math book like a whole week before Holden, and he claims it was because he didn't try. But I know he was trying, and he was just like making excuses.
The thing you need to know is Harvey finished the math book before me in fifth grade. So then we go into sixth grade. So we're tied. I won fourth grade. You won fifth grade. Anything else is unimportant. So we go into sixth grade. Tensions are pretty high. We know whoever wins, whoever ties, whoever finishes the math book first in sixth grade is going to be the almighty math king.
Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention this. When we went to meet the principal in fourth grade, we got the nickname the Math Tigers because on the front of the fifth grade math book is a tiger. And then I remember Holden made a joke. He said, hey, does that mean if we finish the fifth grade math book, we become the math compasses? Because on the front of the sixth grade math book, there was a compass. And he said that joke like 10 times and nobody cared. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, saddest moment of my fifth grade career.
Yeah, he said it like 5 times throughout the day. And nobody responded. People just ignored him. Like, it was pretty hilarious.
Don't worry, I'm a really funny guy in person.
Okay, but in sixth grade, we formed a pact to finish the sixth grade math book at the same time. So
you skipped way too much. So
okay.
So basically, I kind of stopped caring because I knew you were gonna win, and so you were like 20 pages ahead of me about halfway through the school year, and then something kicked in me, and I just freaking grinded. Like even like who? What kid likes math? Okay, I didn't like math.
You,
but I wanted
you,
to win.
You.
So then, after math class, I would go back to my teacher and ask for my math book just to do more math to catch up to Harvey. And this went on. Harvey thought he was in the clear. And while all this was going on, I was trying to make a pact with him to tie. So then I won't lose. But you thought you were in the clear. You thought you would win. So then you were evil and you didn't accept my little truce. So then I kept grinding away. And there's like a montage. It was crazy. And then eventually I caught up to Harvey. He didn't notice. I snuck up behind him. And then he looked over one day and I was ahead of him. And then there was like 5 pages to go in the math book. And I was like 10 minutes of work ahead of him. And then you offered to make a truce. And I was so tired. I was so tired of grinding. I accepted it. So then
I just knew you were scared. You were definitely just scared. But yeah, we had a pact to finish at the same time. So I remember I got to the last page first and I had to
I did. And you I had to let you catch up. Because okay. You let me catch up for a little bit and then I got to the very last page. And
oh yeah, because I had to wait for you. Okay. Anyway, okay. Semantics. But I remember this one day we both finished at the same time and we both raised our hands to get checked. So that's how it worked. Everybody worked at one big table. I mean, by everybody it was not a lot. It was like 6 people. And so we both raised our hands at the same time. And our teacher, she grabbed both books and she got like 2 pens in each hand and she checked them both at the same time. So it was like exactly at the same time.
I know something that sucks for you. She checked yours with the left hand.
No, she checked yours with the left hand, bro.
You're on something, Lil Will. I have the good check mark. You have the bad check mark.
No, I vividly remember your check mark being squiggly, but she checked it with her left hand.
Okay, let's not get into the really nitty gritty. But we finished at the exact same time. We went to the principal's office. We got our precious M&Ms, and we got these little crowns.
Remember they had been planning us finishing the math book for a long time. So when we finished the math book, like a week later, we went to the principal's office. They made it like these paper crowns, and they had like all these drawings on them. I could tell like. I don't know who. Someone spent a long time making them.
They definitely put some time into those crowns. Like,
yeah, I know. And then they gave us like a scepter because we were the math kings. We were not the math tigers anymore. We're the math kings. That was our
and before that, we were the math compasses.
Okay. You're literally not funny at all. Like, not at all. No, but nobody's laughing ever. You've made the same joke over the course of 3 years. Nobody's ever laughed at that joke. This is the first time someone has ever responded to you saying that joke. Okay. So, anyways,
it's been 4 years and no one's laughed at my joke. But
Okay.
Wait, hold up. So I remember also like in fifth. Like, we are the only people to ever finish that math book and probably the only people to ever finish that math book. Like, no kid enjoys doing math, especially whenever it's so much. And you have – the only way to actually finish all that math is to do it out of math class, and no kid in their right mind is going to do that. We were like insane.
Well, yeah, we were the math kings, and they gave us a scepter. You know how a king has a scepter? So we had a scepter, but instead of it being made of gold and has jewels in it, it was just like one of those tubes and mini M&Ms. It was pretty cool. Okay, so the reason why I think I let my light shine this moment is not because I was like flexing my math skills or anything. It's because the kids in the grade below us, and this is something I really liked about my old school, is they would kind of mix together the grades. Like 4th, 5th, and 6th all shared a building. I mean, we wouldn't take classes, of course, you know. But like, we'd have recess together, we'd have lunch together. Our like homeroom desks were next to each other. So we could have people to look up to and people to like look down upon.
Yeah, exactly.
If that's how you say it. But the kids in the below grades, I remember they were inspired by our like competition, and they wanted to do that too. So I like to think that I inspired some kids to work harder on their math, and you know they had fun doing it too. So, you know, they had fun doing math and put more work in. So I think that's pretty cool. So yeah, in conclusion, we did pretty good at the math books, and in our competition, you know, we inspired some kids and, you know, helped them have fun doing their math books. Anyways, that's it for this section. Here's some music. The next topic's going to come up in a few seconds. Okay, so at the end of the sixth grade was the final year of our old school. It only went up to sixth grade. So at the end of sixth grade, there was this cumulative project that's supposed to, like, incorporate everything you've learned pre-K through sixth grade in that one project. And it was called the Imaginary Island. So basically, in the Imaginary Island, you had to create your own island, and it had to have its own functioning government, history, culture, like imports and exports, a lot of wildlife. You got anything to say about that?
Yes. So you kind of summed it up pretty well. And we'll get into it whenever we start, like, explaining it. But, yeah, basically, you have to create an island with its own government and its own imports. Yeah, exactly what he said.
So, once a week after recess, our cultural studies teacher, a.k.a. our social studies teacher, a.k.a. our history teacher, a.k.a. our math teacher, would take all the sixth graders to the side. And, you know, the sixth graders, there was only 6 sixth graders, which is, like, really small for a grade. 6 sixth graders. So we all go into class, and we'd go over a subject. Like, at first, we'd have to write about the government of Ireland. So we learned about the different types of government and how to incorporate them. It was pretty cool.
And, like, yeah, you'd have to do research on real-life countries and take inspiration off of those and apply it to your island. So, if this island just spawned in, it would be a functional island that would, like, be able to
actually work. Like, if everything you wrote down proofed into existence, it had to, like, work out. So, I'm pretty sure you used to be able to choose – oh, yeah, I remember. Our science teacher, he said that you used to be able to choose any form of government – but now it's just limited to you could choose between democracy, a republic, or a monarchy. Because one time, a kid made a dictatorship, and then if you littered, you could get executed. So they had to change. They had to make that rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not even sure how he got away with that. Why didn't they shut it down right away?
Yeah. I don't know why dictatorship was an option before.
Okay. So we'd have meetings every week, and they would introduce a new aspect of a functional country every single week. So yeah. So we start with government, and then we might go to flora and fauna, and then it would be a progression of more and more complex things.
Yeah. So our cultural studies teacher, aka history teacher, she would start off. We started out with government, culture, history, cuisine, yeah, and then at the end of the first semester, which is like basically after Christmas break, our science teacher would step in and we'd talk about energy, imports and exports, wildlife, flora, fauna, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to make a trifold. I remember the trifold was pretty cool, because I use that trifold as a template for all the trifolds I made at Trinity, because I'm not very good at making trifolds. So I basically just copy the design and put extra words on it.
So we've been working on this imaginary island project basically the whole year. You start like a few weeks after the first day of school, and you present like a week before the last day of school. So it's a whole year project, and it comes to the day to present. So a while back we got to choose in what order we wanted to present, and I chose dead last, and Harvey chose right before me. So yeah, Harvey does his presentation. I'd say you did pretty good.
But yeah, I remember after we presented, our science teacher said that we can't tell the score to anybody. But I remember I'm not sure if this is just technically breaking the rules, but on the presentation was 40 points out of the 100 points. I got a 42 on presentation, okay? Because I'm just such a good presenter. I'm such a natural speaker, you know? Keep going. But yeah, I remember the day I presented, every day I'd have to go. There's like this after-school program / daycare thing across the street from our school. So every day I'd get picked up by one of the employees there to go there because I couldn't get picked up right away after school. So I remember the lady picked me up. She saw the trifold on like the counter thing. And she was all like, "Yo, is this yours?" And I was like, "Yes." And then, I don't know, she was really impressed. So we walked back across into the daycare thing. And then I remember the entire staff of the daycare kind of just walked across the street. I don't think, maybe not the entire thing. It was like four of them. They all walked across the street and saw my trifold, and they talked to one of my teachers, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was kind of imaginary island, all your project, but we had a lot of fun doing it, and I think I learned a lot from it or something.
So in conclusion, this project taught us how to like string together different subjects and how to research properly, and it was pretty fun to do, and yeah. Okay, guys, well, that's enough about Imaginary Island. Off to our final topic, which is at summer camp. So, for the past few years, me and my friends, Hayden and Holden, have gone to the summer camp in Texas Hill Country called Mo Ranch. It's like 500 acres on the side of a river. And the main reason anybody goes there is because of the activities. You're there for like a week, and you can do like a bunch of swimming stuff. You can do canoeing, kayaking. There's this massive rope swing thing. It's pretty fun. Anyway, do you have anything to say about it?
No, at the summer camp, there's this boy named Sammy. And Sammy is a big boy. And that will help you understand the story later on.
Hello, future Harvey here. Just to clarify, we mean Sammy, no offense. You know, we were friends with him. This is just for comedic effect, okay? Okay, back to the episode.
And that day, we decided to go to the rope swing, like Harvey had mentioned. And it's kind of hard to describe, but I'll let Harvey do it because he's good at doing that stuff.
Yeah, so basically on the top of this hill thing, it was kind of a pain because you had to hike up like 20 to 30 minutes up to this hill, but it was worth it. So imagine a giant, maybe 50, 70 feet tall, like massive metal N, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like in the middle of the N, there's a rope that goes down almost to the ground, right? And then basically, you climb up a ladder, you know, one of those regular ladders you have in your garage. Most people have in their garage or whatever. So you climb up one of those where they help you, and then they attach you to the rope with a harness thing. And then there's a bunch of these pulley system things. So basically, all the kids will pull you up. So they'll pull on a rope. The kids will pull on a rope, and whoever's attached to the rope in the middle will start, like, being hoisted up to the very corner of the end, very top corner. And was it? Whenever the people, so when you're getting hoisted up, you're holding onto the rope, the other end of the rope that the people are pulling on. And if you let go of that rope, you go swinging down. Okay? So, Holden, you can continue the story now.
Yes. So, whenever you go on the rope swing, you are in charge of when you decide to fall. You, like Harvey said, you're holding a rope, and whenever you let go of that rope, you begin to fall from whatever height you are. So this is like, it's completely in your control. There's nothing else preventing you from falling. And this is so, so it's literally all up to you. And it's important to note that some kids didn't want to go all the way to the top, I guess, because they were so scared. Me personally, I wouldn't do that. I went all the way to the top. So it's a big deal to go all the way to the top of the thing. So Sammy decides he wants to go to the top and prove to everyone that he's the big man on the block. So he Before he even goes up, he says, "Do not let me go halfway there. If I say I'm scared, just keep hoisting me."
Yeah.
Like, what an idiotic thing to say. But so we're like, okay, Sammy. So then we begin hoisting him up, and Sammy, like I said, being the big healthy boy he is, has a lot of weight on that one rope, and he's holding up his whole weight on a singular rope, and if he lets go of that, then he falls, which wouldn't be that big of a deal. It just means he, like, chickened out of his, like, whatever bet he made with anyone. Like,
oh, yeah, I remember. They made you wrap around your wrist and then hold on to that.
Yeah.
Like, not tied around your wrist, but wrap around your wrist and hold on to that so it doesn't slip. And, like, in case you're, like, extra sweaty or something. Maybe Sammy was extra sweaty that day. Anyway, keep going.
Oh, yeah,
keep going.
Okay. Yeah, so, wait, so was, okay, whatever. I'll just continue. So, Sammy begins being hoisted up, and his, and, like, he says, and like, you know, he's like, he's having a lot of weight on that one rope. And it's all up to him to not fall and slip. And ordinarily, this wouldn't be a big deal to just fall. It just means he'll chicken out and go into the top, right? But for some reason, no one had moved the ladder that he used to climb to the top, meaning that if he let go, he would slam into the ladder going, like, I don't even know so how fast, but it'd be bad. He would get some velocity because
yeah,
it's a big
so difference. Wait. So, if you guys weren't paying attention or if you forgot, the rope that's in the middle of the massive giant end doesn't go all the way to the bottom. Like, you can't just climb into the harness. Because if it was, whenever you came down, you just crash into the floor. So, they have the rope off the ground, maybe like 5 or 10 feet. So, they have one of those like ladders you have in your garage up there, and then they'll help you climb up. And then usually whenever you're about to go down, they'll put the ladder away so you don't slam into it when you're falling down. So, yeah, keep going.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, they decided not to do that, which isn't the best idea to do it with Sammy because he is definitely the most likely to slip. So I don't know if, like, his hands were sweaty that day or if it's just because of his immense mass, but he was really struggling. He was yelling, "It's slipping, guys, it's slipping. Watch out." And no one did anything. They just kept raising him to the top, like you said. So he was just being raised higher and higher, and no one moved the ladder. And eventually someone realized he was about to slam into that thing, so they moved it. And we got by the skin of our teeth. I mean, I don't even know. He may have let go. I'm sorry.
Technical difficulties. Please stand by.
So... we may have gotten, like, he may have let go before we lowered the ladder, because it takes a little bit to go all the way down. So, like, he got by a bit, like, so close. Like,
yeah, the end is pretty, like, tall. Like, it's 50, 70 feet-ish, I'm not sure. And I remember I went all the way to the top. I had a good, like, 4 or 5 seconds of just falling straight down before I started going back up.
Yeah, so, as Sammy's, like, I don't even, like, he may have let go before the ladder even was lowered, like, accepting his fate that he's gonna slam into that ladder. Like, the second ladder was gone, he just came whooshing by. But, it was hilarious in person, and everyone had a good laugh about it. But, if he did end up hitting it, I don't even know what would happen. But, yeah. So, that's my story. Harvey, do you have anything else?
Okay, so... During my first year at Mo Ranch, Holden's second year and Hayden third year, we had brought this other kid from our school. His name was Eli, and he loved soccer. He was on he's on like a local soccer team in Midland. I'm not sure. But we were playing this game called Calvin Ball, which is basically soccer, but if they call it a category, you have to jump into a river. So we were playing soccer like right by the riverside, because the ranch was on a river, if you don't remember. But yeah, so like the camp counselor could say something like blue shirts, and then everybody who was wearing a blue shirt would have to jump in the river.
So Harvey explained it pretty well because it's stupidly simple. It's just like soccer, except you jump into a river every now and then. So it's basically soccer. So Eli, being the soccer fanatic he is, he decides he's going to start tryharding. And like everyone else is kind of just watching. I mean, there's a few kids trying, and of course, me and Harvey were one of them, but Eli's definitely trying the hardest, and he's like chasing people down, trying to score, all that stuff. And there is one tree in this entire field, one little sapling, like a little tiny thing and he tries to run around it to, like, get the ball. And somehow he gets his arm stuck in the only tree in the thing, and he pops it out of socket. And then he, like, falls down. And on his way down, his arm pops back into socket. And like, he's screaming and, like, crying or whatever. And they have to stop the game. And he gets sent, and we play a different game or whatever. They're like, yeah, we're not.
Yeah, can I continue?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so basically, he got sent. So this is pretty a rural place. Like, it's in the middle of Texas Hill Country by a river. So he got, like, driven to a hospital, like, 30 minutes away. They called his parents and stuff. And what I remember is after that, we had to play some weird volleyball game. But I remember later that night, he came back in. Like, I was about to fall asleep. I was, like, about to fall asleep in my bunk bed. I was, like, drifting off, like, real close to falling asleep. And then, boom, the door barges open, and, like, people turn on their flashlights.
Flashlights are screaming. And, like, they make a big deal about being extremely quiet after, like, 10:15.
Yeah, you might get peep, and they're, like, gonna give you a talk in the morning or whatever.
Yeah, like, it's bad. So it's, like, dead quiet. You can hear people breathing.
Yeah, it was super surprising how nobody sort of, like, it was a cabin filled with people between the ages of, like, 10 and 14, and somehow there wasn't a single snore. It was, like, super quiet. You could hear the air conditioning, and that was, like, pretty much it. And then I remember I was about to drift off, and then the door barges open, and people switch on their flashlights and stuff, and they're all talking loudly. And the thing is, Eli, he was in the bunk bed below mine. I was on top bunk, of course. And I remember, wait, what? No, I was bottom bunk. He was top bunk. And I remember I was pretending to be asleep, and all the counselors just started stomping around next to my bunk bed, and they were talking to him and stuff. And I remember in the morning, I don't know, he just, from that point on, he just really hated the camp. I don't know why. He said he's never coming back, and he said he's been to better camps or whatever.
I think it was a little bit homesick, and, yeah, he did not have a good time at that camp. Yeah, let's move on.
And watch this. Okay, watch this. Okay, so I hope that gives you a pretty good idea about what goes on at this camp. But time to get on to the point, okay? So this camp had a bunch of different awards for all the people. So there's different age groups, which are all different cabins. There's, like, age group from people, like, what were the age groups again? Do you remember?
I don't exactly remember, but they were separated into, like, 8 and 10, 10 and 12, and 13 and 14 or whatever.
Yeah, I know. Somehow, all of us four got into the same age group, but there's a funny story about that, but I don't want to waste any more time. So basically, at this camp, there's 5 different awards plus some more. So there's 5 awards, 5 main awards.
There's 5 big ones.
5 big ones, yeah. They're called the 5 C's. And I've been there for 2 years. Both years I've won an award. I was out of the double C's. I have the patch right here in front of me. I've been holding it this entire time. So the 5 C's are Christian living, critical thinking, communication, collaboration, and creativity. And there was some other awards. There's the MVP award, which Holden got 2 times in a row, basically, like, the most athletic during all the, like, athletic events and stuff. And Holden got it twice in a row out of 3 years he went there. And he claims that he would have gotten 3 times in a row, but wait, what award did he get in the 3rd year?
I got Christian Living, which I can talk about later. But yeah, I would have, I definitely would have gotten MVP 3 times.
Yeah,
in a row.
But they can't give you 2 awards in 1 year. This is no small camp. It's not like there's 10 kids and there's, like, 10 awards. How many kids do you think there were? Like 50, between there, 50 and 100 kids.
Probably, I would say at least 200.
At least 200. Okay, maybe I'm stretching it a bit.
Okay, like 150.
Okay, I think it's probably between 100 and, like, 150.
Yeah, so, okay. So there's about, like, 100 kids here. At least, like, 150, like, 100 to 150.
Yeah, and in our age group alone, there was, like maybe between 30, like, 30 to 40 kids, right?
Just in our age group alone. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so this is no small thing. Like, winning awards is pretty impressive. And there was another award, Hayden won. It was called the Hot Tamale Award. Hot tamales isn't, like, the snack. So basically, there was a box in the main common area, and if somebody did a good deed for you, if they did something nice to you, you're supposed to write their name in a box, and, like, on a piece of paper and put it in the box, and at the end of the camp, they'd find who had the most names. And I don't know, Hayden just got, like, 2 people
okay.
to write
his
name.
Okay, here's what happened. So Hayden did not do a single nice thing that camp. He was an absolute demon that camp. No, he was fine. But I voted for Hayden because I didn't know who else to vote for. And you voted for someone else. But then Hayden convinced some other guy to vote for him in, as long as he voted for that other guy.
Yeah, it was a vote for a vote. So Hayden, with his two votes, somehow won the award. Mm-hmm. So he got, like, a box of
like tamales. There were a total of, like, four votes in that box, and two of them were for Hayden. Like, no one votes.
Yeah, yeah. The four votes in the box were the one that I voted for, and then the one Holden and the other guy voted for Hayden, and then some guy voted for me, I think.
That's crazy. Yeah, so Hayden got it, and that's an award. Time out. This isn't in the podcast. I'm about to disconnect again. It disconnects every time I run out of screen time. And I'm gonna run out in like 2 minutes, so we gotta wrap it up really fast.
So the 2 years that I went to Mo Ranch, I've gotten one award each year, which were the first year I think I got collaboration, and the second year I think I got critical thinking. So back then, I don't know why I got the award. Like I think the first year I got collaboration just because I tried to include this kid in playing Foursquare. Like he was just sitting on the lunch table. He was like kind of sad, so I tried to cheer him up. And I think a camp counselor might have saw me, and he gave me the award. It was pretty cool. I still have the patch.
Okay, here's a funny thing. That's actually not what happened. They thought it was Harvey asking that kid to play Foursquare, but what it really was Harvey had given this kid his little squishy toy earlier, and he kept asking for the squishy toy every time he got out.
Okay.
It wasn't him asking him to play. It was him asking for his squishy toy back.
Yeah, it was pretty sad, but okay. Okay, here's the real details of what happened, okay? So there's this kid standing on the side. He was kind of my friend, and we were playing Foursquare, and he said that if I got to Foursquare, which is like the how you win Foursquare, I don't know how to describe it to people who don't know what Foursquare is. But basically, if you got to the Foursquare, which is pretty impressive, he said he would give me the marble. So every time I got out or I got to Foursquare, I would go up to ask him for the squishy toy thing. And I guess the camp counselor saw me like keep going up to him and talking to him, so he thought I was trying to include him. But I like to think that I was just including him and, you know, being nice and stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But yeah, the next year I got the award for communication, and this one I have zero clue why I got the communication award. Like, there's nothing I did that was like communicating. Like, I really don't get it.
You were just super talkative. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I was just
all the camp counselors like simped for you. Everyone like actually just loved you at that.
Yeah, my voice is like really high pitched back then, and I guess people like that. So I got the award twice in a row. They're just like, okay, let's just give him another award. But yeah, that's pretty cool.
So I got Christian Living Award because at that camp you get to sit down and talk about your walk with Christ. And me, of course, you already know. I'm gonna restart. And so the Christian Living Award, I got the Christian Living Award, and it's given out to whoever, anyone who like it goes into depth with their walk with Christ. And I guess I ended up doing that. And I got the award. That's all there is to it, really. That's about it.
Okay, so I think I let my light shine this moment by being inclusive to that one kid. And also for just talking a lot and making a lot of friends. Like, I made a lot of new friends during this thing. And in both years. Like, the next year, there were some people, too. And it was really cool. I was friends with all some of the counselors and most of the kids. It was pretty cool. Anyway, guys, we're going to move on to our final segment for real. I know I said the last one was the final segment, but I kind of forgot to record this part. So basically, this part is a section about my future goals, and I'm going to see if I can incorporate them into the Let Your Light Shine moments. Okay, so one of my goals, future goals, is to like just be a good role model. Like, in the math book, it is a good tie into the math book, because after the first year in the math book, I already mentioned this. Some of the grade people in the grades below me, they want to do the math book too. So they had fun doing the math book. They made a competition, and you know, they had fun doing it. And yeah. Okay. Anyway, guys, so my second goal is to get a 4.0 GPA in the last trimester, the third trimester. So because basically in the last two trimesters, I also got a 4.0 GPA. So it'd be nice to round out the year with three 4.0 GPAs. And I'm pretty sure you also get like a cool reward if you do. I'm not sure what it is. I just heard about this from somewhere. Anyway, guys, that's going to be just about it for this episode. I hope this episode was insightful and also you kind of understood what was happening without, you know, me being too rambly. Anyway, see you guys in the next episode. Bye.